GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, welcome to the RTE GAA podcast. Mikey Stafford here again. Jackie Hurley's still tied up with the Euros, but thankfully, Rory O'Neill's freed himself up from association football to talk about our native games. Very good of you, Rory.
Thanks. Missed it last week. Listen, it's been brilliant. I was on the Athletics.
You're allowed to touch the ball with your hands now. Okay.
I was on the Athletics there a couple of weeks ago, and that was absolutely fantastic. What a brilliant experience. It was really instructive, actually, in some ways, in how open and giving and cooperative and how out in front the athletes are prepared to give of their time. And in stark contrast, right? No, we won't mention the war, but no, look, it's been great. Yeah.
Jackie, how are you?
Good, Mikey. How are you?
I'm good. Before we get on to the quarterfinals, I suppose it'd be remiss of us. We had so much to talk about on Monday. We didn't really talk about the latest civil war in the GAA, so we might as well mention it here. I think, as most people are aware, Wexford applied to have the Tailteann Cup and All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals swapped. The hurling moved to Sunday and the Tailteann Cup moved to Saturday. And they, under rather unusually, Jarlath Burns called a central counting council meeting on it, and the vote was narrowly lost. It was won, but not by the 60% they needed. So Jackie, this has everyone enraged. Like, my dad, he thinks hurling is being disrespected. Colleague Jim McMahon, who's a Sligo football fan, says the writing's on the wall for Tailteann Cup is going to be played on a Wednesday night out in Blanchardstown soon enough.
Proper order, says Jackie.
Burst. What do you think, Jackie?
Look, this isn't a football hurling debate. It's not at all.
In fairness, right,
that's how it's always framed, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the things of the Tailteann Cup selling point was its moment in the sun, which is the semi-final and final, and rightly so. Likewise with the Joe Mack final last weekend and the year before, it's been unbelievable, the final. But what's disappointing in this is that, you know, we all, pundits, county boards, players, you know, broadcasters, we all frame ourselves as hurling people, and hurling is our national game. But that for me is lip service, because I was hugely disappointed in Clare's U-turn in that they supported initially, and then when it came to a vote, I'm led to believe they voted against it. Because the really, really crux of it now, what really, really hurts is from the Wexford point of view particularly, and the failing in a Gael. So what we're actually saying is to the people of Wexford who give up their time, that volunteers, that help with their clubs, is that, look, you're doing all this great work, but we're actually going to penalise you, because you can't go to the game on Saturday, which is a huge game in All-Ireland quarterfinal for Wexford, because you're caught up in Fela. I mean, that is wrong on so, so many levels. I played Fela. I was very lucky to play in Fela. Back in 1995 and 6, we went down to Limerick and Waterford. Treasure those memories.
Did you win it, Jackie?
Yeah, we lost it the first year in the semi-final to Six Mile Bridge. The following year, then we beat Kilmallock in the final in Waterford. And Andrew O'Shaughnessy actually played on the same team for Kilmallock that day. So I have unbelievable memories of it. It's an outstanding competition, but huge logistic resources from a Wexford point of view of organising all those clubs. And what are we saying to them? Thanks a million, lads. But you know what? You can't go watch Wexford that evening. I think it's a disgrace. In fairness to Jarlath Burns, he did recognise the problem and tried to do something about it. But I'd be very disappointed in how it wasn't somehow facilitated in another way, how maybe there's some bit of power that Jarlath Burns can kind of come in and say, look at lads, this needs to be done on a different day. And maybe splitting the two quarterfinals is the lesser of two evils, and giving Wexford the opportunity to maybe go see their county team on a Saturday evening play. Because as a young lad, when you play in hurling matches, and particularly tournaments, when that's over, all you want to do is go watch a game, go play out the back again. Can you imagine the buzz and momentum of 3 or 4 o'clock that day all the Wexford youngsters, whether they won, lost, there's a great feel-good factor in Fela, jumping into the cars and our mammies and daddies and heading off somewhere, whether that be Turles, Kilkenny, to go watch Wexford taking on Clare. I think that would, it's a terrible, terrible blight on everyone associated with this, and it's so disappointing.
The issue could rear its head next week as well with the football failure, because that's in Mayo, and there's a chance now they've probably got a little bit more leeway on what they fix the football quarterfinals for, but you could see Mayo in the same situation. So it is, Rory, not to we won't labour the point here because we don't have that long, yeah. But it's obviously, this is another symptom of the kind of the compressed calendar, and as usual, RTE is getting it in the neck. And a few people have suggested really that we should either move the time of the Euro matches or we shouldn't be showing the Euros because of this. I am a company man, obviously, I want to keep my job, but I'm not being a company man here, but like, this isn't RTE's problem, and RTE did not make this problem.
No, and I think another thing that's been forgotten in all of this is there's four massive football matches going on this weekend when we finally get to a proper, where the games finally matter, and They're almost incidental. I think the biggest shame, and Jackie mentioned it there, like, I think for me, in terms of a purely parochial sense, we have a brilliant little underage hurling team that I'm coaching at the minute, right? They're a fabulous bunch. Really, really good players. Now, we're playing Kilmacud Crokes on Saturday morning.
It's all down to how they're managed, Rory, no doubt.
11 o'clock, throw in. Match won't finish till 12. So, that now is mirror imaged all across the county of Dublin. So none of those kids, hurling, this is a hurling week in Dublin. It's a hurling underage go games week, underage juvenile week in Dublin. None of those teams, young kids, are going to be able to go to the game. And it's the same in Cork. Cork are in exactly the same situation. There's blitzes and go games all over Cork on Saturday morning. They're not going to make a half one throw in Turles. So they've also, I think, really sabotaged their own gate receipts here to a certain extent and the profile around these fixtures. So the attendance could be affected. Now, I'd imagine Cork will still bring a big crowd. It's, look, I don't know. I think, in fairness to Jarlath Burns, he's an honest broker. He tried his best. I think he did go into it with good intentions. He probably came to it too late in the day. This was all set out from a long way off. And yeah. I do think it will be fixed. This is a big problem, but there's a myriad of problems. Like the minute the intercounty season starts, Mikey, people are giving out. There's a problem here, like, and we all know what it is. But anyway,
So it's Wexford and Dublin fans, Jackie, who are most discommoded here, and you could argue Wexford Dublin fans might be the ones who, if history is to tell us anything, are as well to stay away. I'm going myself. I can't be put off, but I actually did the maths on it today. Since quarterfinals came in, Leinster teams have played Munster teams in the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Hurling Championship 41 times. And I'm including Galway and Antrim here, even though they weren't always included in Leinster when they were in these matches. Of 41 matches, they have won 13. Of those 13, Galway won 7, Kilkenny won 3, Wexford won 2, and Dublin have won 1. Wexford and Dublin do not have a good record in quarterfinals, Jackie. Wexford and Dublin do not have good records against Munster teams, and it's the chief fuel behind the fire that does, you know, grind your and mine gears, you know, the whole Munster v. Leinster thing. But the fact of the matter is, Jackie, when they meet each other in the championship at the earliest possible stage, the Munster teams are wiping the floor with the Leinster teams.
Yeah, the facts don't lie, Mikey, and to be fair, if you're looking at the two games the weekend, you'd probably give the nod to the Munster teams. But there's always that chance, and the Hurling Championship always throws up a few upsets. And I think the Wexford Clare one potentially could be the upset this weekend if you are to go down that route. You would think the momentum of Wexford this year is definitely on an upward trend. Keith Rosser has done a lot of good stuff there. Clare probably aren't at the same pitch that they were last year. So there's a lot to be positive from a Wexford point of view. If you go back a couple of years ago when Dara Egan and Wexford nearly took out Clare, only for Tony Kelly stepped in with 10 minutes to go, the thing that hurt that Wexford team that day was they just ran out of bodies. And Dara Egan, I always remember losing afterwards when Shane Reck was doing such a great job and to take him off, I think that really hurt that Wexford team that day, and they just hadn't got the strength and depth to bring off the bench. You'd like to think they're in a stronger position this year, Wexford. Clare aren't operating at that same high level. Tony Kelly did allude to it during the week that they have identified what didn't work against Limerick. So it'll be interesting whether they can address those issues. But you would, if I was a Wexford person, and look, there'll probably be only a small select few going this week, unfortunately, but we won't go down that route. There's green shoots within that. You know, they have a real game changer, and probably in a game winner in Lee Chin, who's probably hurling his best hurling ever. It's up to the likes of Conor McDonald, who blow hot and cold from time to time and seems to perform again the weaker teams. But this is a weekend for Conor McDonald to really, really stand up, and to lead, and Rory O'Connor as well, you know. So it's a tricky one for Clare. It's a lot of it is down to how well Clare can bounce back. We've a fair idea what Wexford will bring. We're kind of uncertain of which Clare will turn up, and what they'll bring, because, you know, you look at that Limerick, there was so much wrong with that performance of how they kind of played it on Limerick's terms, how their defence got dismantled by just following the guys. They were kind of more reactive to Limerick, how they didn't feed Shane O'Donnell. So, you know, they'll have to really, really fix those problems. And if they don't, Wexford are in the long grass.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Rory, because on the one side, you have to go back to, I think, 2014 for the last time Wexford beat Clare, and that was when they knocked the All-Ireland champions out. It was a sensational victory.
Was it after extra time, was it? Was it after extra time in Wexford Park?
Yeah. I believe so. But so on the one hand, Clare have a phenomenal record against Wexford in the championship, and they seem to come up against each other quite a bit. So on that hand, they should be in a good mental state. On the other hand, they're pushing the rock up the mountain again and being flattened by Limerick coming back down yet again. And they did look a slightly, you know, busted docket at the end of the Munster final. You know, there's, you know, you kind of hear mutterings about, you know, how much further can Lone bring this team and stuff like that, which is always, it's kind of natural. Any manager gets that after a bad defeat yet again to their main rivals. But it does seem this year that there might be a bit more work involved in kind of getting Clare up for another run at the All-Ireland series.
I think they made a decision straight after the Munster final to take the week off and take a complete break from each other, which I think was probably a good decision to make, because sometimes you do need maybe just to take the stress out of the situation, go off, do things, you know, just you sometimes you can get sick of the sight of each other. And probably it is a very, given the sustained nature of the calendar, you're probably in each other's faces for an awful long time and for a very, and it's high pressure. So I think that will probably give them a good chance to reset the batteries. But there was an awful lot went wrong the last day that they can fix. I think their midfield, Jenny, their midfield was totally wiped out. Could that potentially happen again? You'd hope not. I think there's a lot of questions that Wexford will have to answer in terms of the Clare forward line. But then, you know, if Tony Kelly comes in, where does he come in? Does he come in at midfield, maybe to bolster that as an option? Does John Conlon stay at centre back? Then are you sort of moving the deck chairs around a wee bit? I think they definitely, in David Fitzgerald and the two wing forwards that Clare have, generally are very good ball outlets. I'd expect a better return from them this time round. And look, Shane O'Donnell, even in defeat, I thought he still played well the last day. So that'll pose a problem. But Wexford have good inside forwards as well. We've already mentioned Lee Chin. Rory O'Connor, I think, needs a big day at the office, and he probably does need help from Conor McDonald. So they will pose a threat. I think this is, obviously, of the two games, definitely the one that's more 50-50. And I think, look, they coped with Leash last week, even though it's very hard to say what type of mindset the Joe McDonagh teams come into those games with. But
There was a bit of a challenge game feel to that now, to be honest, last week.
The funny thing with Wexford, though, I think Richie Hogan mentioned it. There's where he described it like there being two Wexfords, where they can play a team that might be potentially below their level and get dragged down to that level quite easy. And we always see how easy they rise to the challenge when they have to confront Kilkenny. If the team that usually takes on Kilkenny takes on Clare on Saturday, we have a game.
Yeah. You'd love to see some reason from a sponsor or some historical event being marked where, for some reason, Clare have to wear black and amber stripy jerseys. That would be great. That would just do the job for us. Jackie, who's going to win this then before we move on to the other quarter?
I'm finding this one hard to call. I'm going to go for Wexford.
Thanks, Jackie. Rory?
I'm going to give a hesitant nod to Wexford as well. I think they'll have the bit between the teeth. Yeah, I think a surprise in this game.
Okay. I would have said yes. I would have gone along with you, except for Liam Ryan's injury.
That is
which is huge, because yeah. I thought the Clare attack didn't cope physically with Limerick the last day. And if you put Liam Ryan into that Wexford defence, you've got a very physically strong, not all six of them are physically strong, but himself and Matthew Hanlon in particular together add up to a lot of physicality. And I just think that's something that's going to be missing. So I'm going to say Clare are going to win, because I just want to be wrong. Okay, the other game, Jackie, I think we've got another game in our hands here where the levels are different, because the Munster team are coming in are definitely the better team, I think. But in this instance, the provincial finalists on the other side, Dublin, like, you'd have to wonder where their heads are at after what was effectively a no-show in the Leinster final, going up against a Cork team who kind of gained momentum as the Munster Championship went on, got to kick their heels for a couple of weeks, you know, enjoyed a bit of a score fest with Offaly, which is what people seem to want to do with Offaly hurling teams these days. A win or lose, you want to score loads. And now they're coming in, and Corker were arguably being talked about as Limerick's main contenders a few weeks ago until they kind of disappeared off the radar for a few weeks. So it's really hard to make any arguments for the Leinster side here, is it, Jackie?
Yeah, it very is, Mikey. And you'd have to question and wonder how much of a mental hangover and scar tissue that is going to exist from that Leinster final that Dublin are going to try to recover. I don't think you do recover from that. I think you try to get on with it, and Micheál O'Donoghue will try to do that. But God, they were so, so bad on so many facets. And the most disappointing thing on it was that the body language of some of their key players, they just down tools. They just gave up in certain capacities and just went through them early in that game, which is so disappointing. From a Cork point of view, I thought, I didn't think it suited them to kind of go off the radar. I thought they were kind of riding the hype train after the Limerick thing and maybe lost a bit of that momentum coming into the Offaly. They still, I know they fell asleep at the end and probably were sluggish in certain elements of the game, but in essence, they did enough to beat Offaly. I think we are looking at a Cork win this weekend, a relatively comfortable win this weekend. I think Cork will put a statement performance out again. I would worry about their centre-back, and I do think Kieran Joy should go back there, and I think that is the answer there. But I expect Cork to win relatively easy the weekend.
I'm not going to ask you to yell at us here, Rory. I'm just going to ask you, what is it that you want to see from Cork this weekend? If we... No offense to producer Peter, the hurling fan who's listening here and not contributing, but like, if we're taking it as a given that Cork are going to win this game, what do you want to see?
Well, I was in Tullamore last Saturday and I was there for the whole day. Went down, brilliant occasion actually. It was fabulous.
I like the way you say that. I love the way a Cork fan has to say, I was there for the whole day.
I was there for the whole day. I was in nice and early for the football as well. And so I saw the full warm-up, and I was watching the warm-up. This friend of mine from Cork, he was up from West Cork, and when two of us were standing, Tony, I said, turn around, Tony, and I said, have a look at that there. There was two Cork lads who started. I won't name them, right? And they were having a game of keepy-uppies with a slitter. No hurley in their hand, no helmet. And this was the warm-up. Then we get into the game, right? And I see Patrick Horgan, who, okay, look, Hoggy is legendary status in Cork, to be fair now. But when you see a player his quality try to take a shot on goal from 25, 30 metres out, where if that's Clare, if that's Limerick, if that's Kilkenny, he tips that over the bar, because there'd be a different level of respect. They didn't take the game seriously. And if they go into, and I was delighted that Pat Ryan came out afterwards and didn't sugarcoat his words and didn't dress it up as something that it wasn't. It was an element of complacency. There was a complete, I felt, you know, sure, look, this will be a handy enough one. Okay, they won the match by 9 points, but I didn't like what I saw in terms of the body language and in terms of their attitude and their approach. And I would expect a response from Dublin. I think Dublin have to go down and mend some level of pride back into the jersey after the unholy whooping they took in that Leinster final. Will they have enough quality to beat Cork? I don't think so. Let's be perfectly honest. They just won't. They won't have enough quality up front. Cork, even when Cork are sloppy at the back, as Pat described, they'll still rack up 327, 4-26, this type of scoring. And Dublin simply just won't do that, as profligate as Niall at Cork might be in a defensive sense. But, you know, look, it'll be, you would hope they get a test. And the test, you would assume they will pass, but they need to cut out the messing.
Jackie, I'm curious, what would happen if Brian Cody had seen two Kilkenny players playing keepy uppy without hurls before a championship match?
Jesus, that is interesting, Mikey.
The hurls would be inserted somewhere.
As Roy Keane said, you'd be getting a taxi back home to Kilkenny, I'd say.
I suppose one explanation for maybe Patrick Horgan's decision making in front of goal, Jackie, is the I don't know. Do you think himself and TJ Reid are wrapped up in this at all? At the moment, TJ has 699 points total in 88 championship games. Patrick Horgan has 689 in 80 championship games. In your opinion, as well as you know TJ, Jackie, would he be aware of that? Would he care about it? It wouldn't be influencing how he plays the game, I imagine.
No doubt about it, TJ Reid is aware of it. Is he wrapped up in it? No. But TJ likes to be the best at everything. So I'm sure every time a ball goes over the bar, he gets one in the back of the net, he will know exactly, oh, I'm four up on him now, I'm six up on him now. That's TJ. That's the brilliance of him. He wants to be the best at everything. So look, I couldn't really comment on Hoggy as much, but yeah, I'd say TJ's aware of it. Has he got a chart at home that he fills out after every match and tells him he's up and down? I doubt it. And if Derek King got wind of it, he wouldn't be happy. But TJ likes that kind of thing.
Imagine, like Huggy, obviously he's hanging around playing senior hurling at an age when a lot of lads have packed it in. Rory, he's obviously got a competitive streak.
2008, I think, was it? Was it 2008 he made his championship debut? And I think he might have played in the semi-final. Did Cork play Kilkenny in that semi-final in 08?
I marked him in the semi-final, Rory.
Yeah, there you go. Like that's how long he's had to go.
How many did he add to the total that day, Jackie?
Oh, he did. I think he got three that day, yeah.
I
helped him.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, I mean, it's an incredible longevity in a modern sense. And, like, I don't know. He's probably playing this year. And, like, I've been critical of Patrick before because I sometimes feel, in a defensive sense, he doesn't give you a whole pile. And without the ball, you're nearly playing with 14 players. But look, with the ball, and I think the big thing from a Cork perspective this year, he's got help. Hayes and Connolly in there with him. And Cork have gone back to a very much... I think that's the biggest thing. That's why the supporters are back on board in such a big way. They're back playing a very much a traditional Cork game plan. And that's fired it in often and early. And when you've got three inside there now and the presence of Hayes and Connolly, he's got help. So he's not solely dependent on having to, you know, do it all himself anymore. And yeah, look, I think the Dublin full backline have their work cut out.
Yeah. Okay. So I think... we're all going for Cork wins here, are we?
I think so.
All in agreement. Okay. Well, look, looking forward to it. An early start Saturday morning. Yeah, it's fine. We will be back, or Jackie and Rory will be back on Monday, I think, to digest it anyway. Jackie, enjoy your weekend. We'll chat to you soon.
Will do. Thanks, lads.
We'll be back with Lee Keegan now in a second to talk about football.
He hits it! It's over the bar!
It's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship preliminary quarterfinal weekend. Trips off the tongue. We're finally into knockout football, so Lee Keegan's here. I don't know if he's had his championship haircut yet, but it's coming, I'd say, Lee. Is it? It's coming.
I think I need for Friday. I'm working with Eamon Fitz the weekend. I'm sure he'll give me a little dig if it's not ready to rock.
I think we're all relieved, Lee, at this stage that we're into knockout football. There's no more permutations. There's no more talking about teams staying in the championship if they've lost a game. We're finally at the stage where it's winner takes all, winner on the day. I think we're all relieved at this stage, are we?
I think relief, and I'm finally looking forward to hopefully what's going to be a great weekend. I always find with knockout football, we'll finally see teams now really go at the games. I think with the lifelines we've had, with everything that's gone on, there's no point to get into all that kind of stuff. I think now with the weekend that we have ahead of us, I think we can really look forward to what championship football is all about. And when there is no lifelines, no consequences, you have to bring your A game. And yeah, listen, there's a bit of, I suppose, feel sorry for the teams in the sense that it's a prelim quarterfinal. But from my aspect and looking in, I'm just excited that we have now teams getting eliminated and now we're in the cutthroat of championship football and what championship football is all about. Someone said it during the day, like, you know, championship should be about earning your crust and, you know, getting through these kind of obstacles. These are proper obstacles now. And if you're not on your game at the weekend, you're in for a hard time. So I'm really looking forward to some of the games that are going to progress from now on. And it all starts, thankfully, Saturday.
Yeah. And I think, Rory, we've got three games, I think, of real interest here where, there's certainly favourites, but you could make a case for the other team. I am saying Galway v Monaghan is all but a foregone conclusion. Sorry, Galway. No, sorry, Monaghan. But I do think the other three games, Rory, there's definitely... Like it's plausible to make a case for either of the two teams.
Mayo Derry is a fantastic fixture because there's so much in it. I mean, I was on a podcast going back many moons ago earlier in the season where I was kind of intimating here that I had my doubts about Derry. This was before the collapse, obviously. And I did say back then that if, for instance, they ran into a Mayo, that I think Mayo would give them lots of problems and probably beat them. So we're going to put that theory to the test this Saturday. And I just find this fascinating because, look, Mayo are fascinating anyway. We saw what happened last week in relation to Dublin. The thing about Mayo, and this is always with Mayo, and Lee will know this obviously better than anybody, athletically, they can match pretty much anyone. There will be as athletic as you're going to get. Where this game really becomes interesting is Mayo have this uncanny knack of playing down to the level of the team below them sometimes, but also playing up to the team above them and rising to the challenge of playing
the Wexford hurlers of football.
Well, we saw it last week. They rose to the challenge as they always did. Even in Lee's time, always rose to the challenge of playing Dublin and very nearly won the game. Didn't lose it either, mind you. So the big thing for them this weekend, though, is this is such a risky fixture, you know? Oh. I got a sense of an element of deflation after maybe not eking out that win last weekend. Whereas Derry now are coming in, where basically everybody is saying Derry are, their season is busted. So it's kind of a free shot. So it's a very dangerous game for Mayo. Would you think, yeah, Lee?
I actually agree with you 100%. I think with Mayo and even our time, I think when the challenge is at its greatest and you take the Dublin game last week, because there was a sense of where this Mayo team at the moment. It was all kind of, you know, they hadn't done anything wrong, but it was all kind of risk assessed and very methodical and structured, where I think on Sunday, because the majority of the country assume Dublin were going to probably not steamroll them, but you know, get the job done. And Mayo, I'd say tenfold increase in performance at the side of Dublin, probably been underdogs. The challenge now for Mayo is, okay, they're probably quite heavy favourites for this game Saturday on the back of a brilliant performance. I think that's a really dangerous position sometimes for a team, because I'm sure they're getting plenty of slaps in the back and say great performance, but let's remember they didn't get the victory that they required and that Kevin McStay went after. And that's why I think there was a bit of deflation. And I was, like yourself, Roy, I was actually fascinated with probably Kevin after the game, just how deflated he was after that performance, probably knowing they're going to get a tough draw and move into then a tough quarterfinal and then 3 weeks in a row. And the challenge for Mayo, and when I looked at it, is how much energy did they put into that game on Sunday to have a 6-day turnaround to get a Division One team? People will talk about Derry in the sense that they've been absolutely appalling over the 2 weeks. It still doesn't make them a bad team. You look at their names on paper, they're some a good dangerous players. They're a dangerous team. And let's just rewind back to the league game. They put 3-15 on Mayo in Castlebar. So I got, listen, Derry are going really hard for the league on that. If Derry have anything about them, and I mean, I'm talking about the players now, they will go to this game at the weekend and they will love it. I think it's a great position for Derry because you don't have the sideshow of Mickey Hart and out. You don't have the sideshow of Mickey Hart and Tyrone. For me, this is probably the perfect game for Derry because there's no baggage around Mayo and Derry. So it's a brilliant place to be for Derry. it's just have they enough time to work on their flaws and stuff like that. I don't know. But for Mayo, I really think, can they dust themselves down enough from Sunday, get over that and say, right, this weekend is absolutely a full new test. We're favourites, but can they relish in that kind of favourites tag, unlike last Sunday when they're underdogs and put in an absolute brilliant performance?
Like Lee, if memory serves, did Derry go to Castlebar a few years ago? You would have been playing, and when they would have been in Division 4 and take heat extra time.
Extra time in 2016,
17 maybe?
16, 17 qualifier game, yeah. Actually, Conor Loftus got a late goal to put us in contention for extra time, I think. So we were very lucky to get out, and that was a Derry team
who in Division 4 maybe at that time. They were way down the pecking order.
Three or four. I think Chrissy McKay was playing, Neil McLaughlin was playing, but they didn't have any of the household names they have now in the panel. So it's a dangerous game. It's the tie of the weekend for me in terms of the quality of paper. Yeah. And I'm really excited. I'm more excited. Can Mayo bring that A game? Can they get those energy levels? But I'm also really excited to see can Derry finally squash all our theories about them and just bring a performance that they're worthy of doing.
Yeah, I guess the question for me would be that one of the reasons I think Mayo flourish against Dublin is definitely that, as Royce, it's kind of the playing up to the opposition, but it's also the way that Dublin play. Dublin obviously are also an attacking team. They leave space at the back, you know, just by the nature of how they play. And Mayo capitalise on that. And as you wrote in your column today, the two play, Conroy and O'Donoghue playing either side of O'Shea, they flourished. You imagine, Derry have obviously, there's some question marks about how Derry approach games as well. But if, as some people predict, I think Enda said it here on Monday, if they kind of go back to their roots a little bit and maybe take a little bit of the jeopardy out of their style of defending, go a little bit more conservative, get players behind the ball, That's when Mayo struggle, when a very good team play with a low block, shall we say.
Low block, yeah, it's the new phrase, I love it. it's true though, I fully agree, because actually, again, I don't look too much into the league game, but when Derry got kind of into like this kind of pinball kind of game, Mayo flourished big time. And I think that's why Mayo flourished against Dublin, because it's man-to-man, it's total risk football. It's you go at me, we'll go at you. Where I think when Derry put a lot of structure on their play in Castlebar, Mayo struggled for a large patch of that. And when Mayo get into that kind of, listen, the play with structure sells, I'm not saying that, but when a team like Derry were flowing and they're in a structured position and play the game, I thought Mayo really struggled to break them down. Where I think sometimes Mayo get into that kind of pinball, madness, pandemonium type of game, we know Mayo can flourish during that game. So, and that was the case on Sunday. So, Derry know that. I think if Derry get their game plan right, get their structure right, when that's been Derry's big issue though, is their defensive structure has just been absolutely chaotic. I mean, I've never seen it just collapse so badly. So if they tweak that, get that a little bit better, I think Derry are going to be right in this game on Saturday. And you'll see then Mayo maybe try and take the pot shots or get a bit frustrated. And that's where the likes of Shane McGuigan and Ethan Doherty and these guys then do really well on the counter-attack. So, and listen, Derry, it's funny, like, I know they got rinsed on kickouts against Donegal. It was kickouts. Derry, the goal again, it was a sending off. And then I don't know what happened with Armagh. So, again, there's been situations in games where Derry have probably cost themselves. If they just tweak a little bit and work on that structure a bit better, and for the love of God, don't be pushing kickouts. They have enough big men around the middle outside Oran Lynch to do a job. Conor Glass, Brendan Rodgers, two of the best midfielders, let them compete.
Yeah,
there's no other reason. So I think if they get those little few bits right, I think this game is going to be so much tighter than what people are making out to be.
Yeah, and Rory, Gareth McInnes is back, which he has things to atone for, and he's also a bloody good footballer, so, and he will add a bit of solidity to that defence, you would think.
You would. No, having said that, I would still have a strong inkling for Mayo. I think home advantage has to come for something. You would assume the Mayo bandwagon should be back up and running after such a brilliant performance. And by the way, like, I wasn't obviously on last Monday. That game, Dublin Mayo, what a brilliant game of football that was. It was a brilliant game. And, you know, look, I just think that's worth saying as well. I think I like Mayo. I think Mayo play at a very attractive brand of football when they're, you know, playing that Mayo way, that chaos that they bring. I know there's an element to Kevin has tried to brought a slight more element of control, maybe to the back end of fixtures so that they're better at closing games out. But I think if you look at it right down through the middle, I mean, Derry will still largely dependent on Shane McGuigan, whose form is worrisome. He will probably be picked up by somebody like, I would imagine, David McBrien, who is potentially all-star material at the moment, right up there, certainly one of the best fullbacks around, playing unbelievable football. In and around that middle eight, you know, I know Kevin replaced both midfielders the last day, but that was late on. And Jack Carney and Matty Ruan would appear to be Mayo's best partnership in there, and he still has Dermot O'Connor and a few others to come in to bolster that if the legs go.
You're saying closing games out. That would be one little concern for me with Mayo, though, because they had the game wrapped up against Galway, let that go later on. Yeah. They had the game against Dublin later on. And I think if Derry do look at that and stay in the game long enough, then a little few creeps might kick in later in that game. So I would say, yes, they're trying to close them out, but they're not finishing them the way I'd like them to finish it. And they're just, for me, keeping teams in. Like, a lot of people made a lot of the Kieran Kelly catch last day. For me, the play was fine. The kick out was fine. It's how somebody gets a free catch in a body of players late in a game like that, where I would have a little major concern. Big concern. So I do agree with the form of those players. And for me, I like a gem is Dunica McHugh. I thought he did a brilliant job in Fenton the weekend. So they're tweaking well, they're adapting their game plan pretty well. And that's going to be the interesting side of things, is who does pick up Shane McGuigan. I agree, Dave McBrien is the obvious choice. But looking at Dunica McHugh, would he be another choice as well, the way he can man mark somebody? I think so as well.
Deeper panel, and you know, home advantage must surely come for something. So Mayo,
you think?
a hesitant nod for Mayo, but
yeah,
this is going to be this. I think this will be very competitive.
I think Mayo are going to win this reasonably comfortably.
Do you?
There you go. I do. Yeah.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I know. They're going to throw off the shackles. They're going to break their Mikhail Park hoodoo, and they're going to put poor Derry out of their misery, I think. Okay, I'm going to go to Cork Loud next, just so Rory can get his Corkness out of the way. Rory, this is the GA's new old firm, or infirm, whichever way you want to look at it. These two play each other a lot, and they probably actually quite like each other. There doesn't seem to be any bad blood, unfortunately.
We're the same colours. It's the largest county against the smallest county, and you know, I suppose it's two teams that have been kind of hovering around mid-table Division 2. So if you're looking at a last 12 fixture, maybe it's the classic last 12 fixture. It's an opportunity for both teams to get into a quarter final. Cork are on their travels. The game is in Monaghan, as we know, and in Enniskeen and Grattan Park. I was there, obviously, last Sunday. I thought in the first half against Tyrone, or sorry, last Saturday for the Cork Tyrone, I was down in Tullamore. Played well in the first half, but lacked conversion. Very dependent on goals. No Hurley, no Party is absolutely the case from a Cork's perspective. And one
that
of
has
plus
two meanings in Cork as well, Roy. Really,
yeah, exactly, right? So I think, look, he gives Cork an awful lot in terms of leadership, obviously in terms of a defensive capacity, but also in terms of just his ability to kick from distance. And ultimately, they struggle to break down that defensive block that Tyrone set up. Now, if Tyrone set one up, by God, we know Louth are going to set one up. And Cork have struggled with that as well. They were dependent on goals against Donegal. Colomani coming on with a few minutes to go, it'd be a bit more time in his legs, and he is somebody that could kick from range, but whether or not he'd be fit enough or match fit enough to make a start, I doubt it very much. And Louth are coming into this game with a bit more momentum behind them. Obviously, they got beaten well by Kerry again, but I don't know if that'll worry them all that much. They seem to be able to park that type of thing quite quickly, and they will know, and Ger Brennan will know, and Ger Brennan will have them well wound up. Competitive fixture. If Cork get out with a 1 or 2 point win, they can count themselves lucky.
It's funny that Rory says, Lee, that, you know, Louth were coming in with more momentum, like, because Cork had, you know, pretty good group stage, and up until the final few minutes of that Tyrone game, they were going through as group winners ahead of Donegal. So should Cork have loftier ambitions here than, you know, a 1 or 2 point win over Louth? And should they be considering themselves, you know, you know, granted they're in Munster with Kerry and that's an issue for them, but should they have a higher opinion of themselves than they do, or even Rory does?
I'm not hearing Rory say that. It's, you know, the Tyrone game was a funny one because, like, what, the 45th minute was Chris O'Jones got the black card.
Yeah. That did change a lot now. It did change a lot.
And the reason I said that could have been potentially a black card for Niall Morgan because he was the last man. So if that kick pass goes better to Chris O'Jones, we could be talking about Cork in a totally different light. The one thing I did worry about Cork a little bit, and this is then to Brian Hurley missing, I thought their shape up top definitely lacks something there without Brian. I think he gives them that focal point. And I thought they lacked that a little bit. Although, and it's funny, like, they still hit 17 scores against Tyrone. Do you know what I mean? For all the bit bad in the second half, I thought that's not
a lot of freeze. Return. I think Sherlock freeze. Kicked did Sherlock kick seven or eight seven freeze? Freeze. So, yeah. Certainly seven. You know, so like look, I did the it was a frustrating day because they went in at the break. I think, I don't know, it was 10-9 at halftime.
Yeah, it was
there. 4 or 5 bad wides, a couple of drop short, one off the post, and you're saying they should have been 4 or 5 up going in at the break. They weren't, and I felt, to be fair to Tyrone, and I'm sure we'll get on to them next, I felt Tyrone were the better side in the end.
They played Matthew Donnelly too well. It's from Matthew Donnelly got man of the match. And yeah,
I thought Morgan was actually my man of the match being added. I mean, I think giving man of the match to a fella who basically sits on his own 45 unmarked and is picking up handy ball, I think is a bit, I don't know.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, Cork didn't occupy him enough to join. But then, on the, like, just looking at live on the weekend, it's funny, like, Louder, a mad team in turn, they can create goal chances at nothing. And like, I think Craig Lennon had an absolute huge opportunity in Kerry in the first half. You remember, I think it was nearly put them a point ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a sitter wide, and then you could see the deflation from that moment. And then Kerry just kind of overran them with their spread of scores. So I think Loud have a lot of positives around in terms of what they can create. I think the running game is really strong. I think if they get Sam Roy enough ball, Burns up top, those type of guys, it's just, I think, you know, you were saying they react well to this. I would probably see Cork as slight favourites based on Loud's performance last week. I'm not sure, like, losing by that much against Kerry, even from the year before, it looked a kind of similar pattern. I just feel for Loud, will they run out a bit of steam in this game towards the latter end, where I feel Cork have had actually a really good group stage prior to that last game, half, so...
Yeah.
One final point that did become very noticeable, Mikey, and I suppose it's an evolution in terms of how you want to play the game. And it was a similar pattern against Kerry, where you're gone 3 or 4 points down and you're still sitting off. I think John Cleary and his coaching team do need to maybe, and look, this is probably not something that you're going to solve in year 1 or 2. It's probably something that you've got to evolve over time. But if you're 3 or 4 points down and you're still playing that game where you're basically sitting back, it's very, very hard. You're dependent on a stroke of luck, a quick turnover, and a game, catching people off guard and just a quick counterattack. I think their next evolution needs to be, if they are behind with only 5 or 6 minutes to go, you've got to go after the game. You can't sit back at that stage, because the way teams play keep ball now, the clock just gets run down and the game peters out into a nothingness. So they do need to figure out that, look, if we're 3 or 4 points down, and it's happened now down in Killarney and it happened the last day against Tyrone, that we need to, you know, be a bit braver and go after the game a bit more and push up. Now that brings risk, but better to lose, like, what's the old saying, never die wondering, you know?
For sure, it's not good football. So if they're 3 or 4 points down, and if they don't change that, then what is the point of it? Do you know what I mean? It's the weekend to do it now. And I'm sure if they're in that position, I'm sure Cleary would say, you have to absolutely go after it.
Yeah. The best thing is probably to be 3 or 4 points up, I suppose.
Yeah.
But Loud, they're the same. Loud will be in the same situation. But as you say, they do have that ability to create goal chances. And they do have probably the 2 or 3 kind of more potent forwards at the moment, if you were to look at the lineup. So I suppose it may be less of an issue for them. But you're both tentatively giving it to Cork, yeah?
Just about, yeah. I think it's such a close game to call, though. I really, there's nothing between the sides. I even though I'm tipping Cork, the Brian Hurley thing could come back to kick me in the ass a little bit. Not playing so.
I'm going to stick with provincial loyalties here and say the second best team in Leinster are going to beat the second best team in Cork, or second best team in Munster. Okay, Tyrone v Roscommon then is It's interesting, Lee, that you know Roscommon did put up a hell of a total against Cavan, but the issue is they conceded a hell of a total as well. And if this turns into a shootout, great for the GA Go viewers. It could be a cracking game of football. But you always get the impression either if it's a shootout or an arm wrestle. In my head, Tyrone have the beating of Roscommon, whichever way it plays out.
Yeah, and I actually said this. I think this will be the highest scoring game of the weekend. Just based on even Tyrone hitting 118 last day, you know, it's a huge big score. And you look at Roscommon defence, 214 can see against Mayo. So I mean, there's a huge opportunity, and you're giving the likes of Canavan, the Curry, these boys that kind of space. They are going to do untold damage. And do you know what? I don't think Roscommon will go back to a kind of a safe structure. I think they're just throwing the shackles off a little bit, to be honest. I think it's brilliant. I'm delighted because on paper, and I've said this all year, when I look at Roscommon on paper, their forwards are absolutely brilliant. And I can never understand why they're not allowed to play with a bit more abandonment. Listen, they're going to concede. I have no problem with that. But by God, if you're hitting 320, I don't care who you're playing against. That isn't a bad return at all. That is some scoring. And in Jermurtha playing 11, I think that's a nice move for them. I think Enda Smith finally is getting into the game a bit more. I think he's been well tied down this year. I think teams have really seen the damage he can do after an All-Star year last year. Darren Quaig is another guy I think who has obviously been touted for AFL status. So I feel it's the only way Roscommon go this weekend. Just they're going into Healy Park with no hope, no expectation in the public that I'm talking about. And sure, why not just go at Tyrone and give them a right ding-dong shootout game and see what Tyrone have to offer? Don't let Matty Donnelly be the hero again. He's got man the match in two of the games in the group stage because teams have made him look like a hero. I think he's a warrior-type player. I love Matty Donnelly. But occupy him, make him busy, make him defend. He's not a natural six anyway. So for me, if they throw the shackles off, go at Tyrone and see what it brings you. I still think they're too leaky at the back. I still think Tyrone are too classy up top with Darragh Canavan and just too good. He's just too good of a player. And I don't think they have a defender that can pin him down for long enough. So, but from a Roscommon perspective, I just think just go at Tyrone. You know what? And this could be, as you said, Mike, I think this could be the game of the weekend, unknowingly to ourselves, because the way the two teams can score.
Yeah, Rory, it does seem well set up. And Enda's was speaking on Monday, and like a little bit like Lee might say about McHale Park, Tyrone don't love playing in Healy Park is the one thing. So if Roscommon throw the kitchen sink at them early on, build up a bit of a lead, like it could be an uncomfortable afternoon for Tyrone. And as Lee says, I think Roscommon have got to the stage where it's zero Fs given at this stage of the season. They're going to go out swinging, I think.
And one of the things they have as well, in terms of if you compare Tyrone's last championship fixture, Roscommon probably have a better inside line than Cork would have in terms of Craig, Conor Cox and Murta. They have, you know, a scoring threat in all three, which will definitely ask more questions of the inside. Now, the flip side of it is, they'll face a threat at the other end, and Lee already mentioned it. And like, I mean, Darragh Canavan and McCurry and even Rory as well. You know, look, they're just, I mean, Daniel O'Mahony did his best on young Darragh Canavan, but he's so elusive and
four from play.
Oh, and he kicked one from on the far side of the field, and I'm saying there's no way he's going to try a shot from there. And next thing I could hear the Tyrone crowd cheering, and I'm going, that's outrageous. Like, it's an outrageous kick, you know, to try it from that kind of an angle with his right foot on the right-hand side where you know you've kind of got to really catch that curl. It was just, you know, so I think they'll struggle. Now he'll probably pick Brian Stack to pick him up. He'll certainly have the athleticism. Will he have the speed and the mobility? Not so sure.
No, I think Brian Stack's brilliant, but I just think the way Dara, I think anyone can mark Dara, and if you give him enough ball, he does. He's just too good.
He's too good. And one small little, I suppose, blot on the landscape from a Tyrone perspective is I don't know if Con Kilpatrick has challenged that red card. That happened right in front of me, actually. I think he threw a punch. Now, in fairness to Mark Ronan, didn't make a big deal out of it, didn't go down rolling around, he just walked away. But Brendan Cawley, I think, was on the line. When it was right in front of him, actually. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen because he did it literally right in front of the linesman who just, you know, he came over straight red. He'll be a loss because he's an important midfielder for them. You know, like if Roscommon do push up, that will weaken their midfield to a certain extent, and might offer Roscommon the ability maybe to press that kick out and back their own lads and Enda Smith to get their hands on primary ball. So that's a little bit of a subplot in all of this.
All I can see, Rory, is that 3 days ago, Tyrone were pondering an appeal.
Yeah.
That's the only headlines I see around it. So that doesn't mean they said yay or nay.
That could continue up until tomorrow night.
Technicality.
So you just don't know whether or not they might be able to get him off. But I think it will be close, but I just think there would appear to be a more cohesive nature now to the way Tyrone are playing, and I think in their goalkeeper have the best in the business now. He's better than Cluxton for me.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say that. I think if you're talking about Derek Hannon up top, been one of the four players for me.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best out there now. You know, he can do everything.
I think he is such a joy to watch, guys. I really do. And it's funny, when the new rules come in, I don't know how that's going to impact him in terms of his performance. I think that we won't get to see.
He might have to play out the field.
I think so. We had this conversation last night. I think he'll have to. I think he's too good not to.
Yeah.
Like if you're that Niall Morgan
kicked a score from play on Saturday last. An absolute humdinger. Like, I mean,
I don't know if we appreciate Niall Morgan enough for what he does, guys. Like his hands are ridiculous, his kickouts are ridiculous, his
shot stopper,
his skills on the ball. Like, if you're talking about a complete player as a keeper, he is one of the finest out there. And
it's his judgment, Lee, isn't it? Because he's one of the original sweeper keepers, whatever you want to call him. But he doesn't rip the arse out of it. He knows when he can do it and when he shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And he has very good judgment. He does it as much as nearly anybody, but you rarely see him scurrying back to the goal. Yeah,
it's not reckless. It's not abandonment. It's just been so confident in his ability to pick his time, pick his moment. I always said, a bit like Tom O'Sullivan when he attacks. When he attacks, he goes. That's it. He's finishing out. But like, I can't believe some teams still just do not push up on Niall Morgan. And like, I would nearly pick a cornerback to leave in the ball. I would be man-marking Niall Morgan because he's just he's just too good. Like, if you're looking at a cornerback versus Niall Morgan, I'd say cornerback, get him on the ball. Keep Niall Morgan away from it because he creates so much damage against teams.
Yeah, no, he is remarkable. And you're right to say he's actually a joy to watch. He's one of the reasons himself and Derek Hannon had the main reasons you tune in to watch Tyrone now. And
phenomenal.
Yeah. The last game, and I've left it the last for a reason, Rory, is Galway v Monaghan. And no offence to the Farney County, but it does kind of seem, not to be too crude about it, like they're circling the drain here, and they're just kind of, they've got another day out, and you'd wonder if they even want it.
And running into a Galway team that I think is starting to build up a good head of steam. I'm loving Galway. I think one of these days, I always remember the 2001 All-Ireland final, and everyone was going into it on the basis of, you know, Meath had absolutely annihilated Kerry in a semi-final. Galway come into the final and they just played this. They just put on an exhibition. I get a sense with Galway that one of these days, because they have so much quality all through their team, they are going to open an absolute can on someone one of these days, and it will be in a big game. With or without Comer, for instance, like the last day, the Armagh game, I thought they were by far the better side. You know, for 65 minutes, there was just a 5-minute brain fart that cost them, I think, 1-2 or 1-3, and all of a sudden a game that they should have been home and host. And they've done that a couple of times, actually, over the last couple of years. They did it against Roscommon in a Division 2 league final. It happened against Armagh again in that famous quarter final where they conceded two goals late on, where they were well and truly the better side. And it's just that small little, I don't know, is it concentration? Is it lack of leadership? Is it, I don't know. I have no clue. I think if they have everybody fit and ready, which they nearly do back home, if they have everybody tuned in, they're a proper All-Ireland contender for me. And I think...
Is Sean Kelly fit?
Well, that's the only thing he did. He came off. He came off again early. So there is a chance that he could be carrying a bit of a knock.
He doesn't look himself, does he?
But if that is the case, I don't necessarily think they'll need to risk him this weekend.
Let's call a spade a spade. It's the perfect draw for him.
Yeah.
On the back of last week, probably letting the game slip away. And also with the few, I know Keane Darcy got injured last week and Will Curran went off injured. I'm sure that adds to it. I'm still under the... I think Galway, I agree with you, Rory. I think Galway are contenders, but not what I did with Gore.
Yeah.
I think he's such an influential figure for Galway in everything. And it was only as clear as they, and we've seen over the years, but when they played Mayo with Comer, his first game back in X amount of time, I have not seen a performance that good in a long time. I mean, he was everywhere. If you're talking about a guy putting a stamp over a game, Damien Comer was catching ball, creating scores, getting scores, turnovers, you name it. He was doing everything nice. There's no way he's going to last. It's probably put him in a bit of pressure on Shane Welsh. I'd step up. And again, Rob Finley, who was heavily strapped the weekend, I thought he looked good. But how much that hinges on him in terms of a full performance. So my worry for Galway down the track, and this is a Mayo man saying it, but again, because I see the quality Galway have, and it worries us here in Mayo because they have such a brilliant squad.
Oh.
That draw for me has probably put them in a really bad position because they can't get Armagh again, okay? So you're looking at Dublin, Derry, or Donegal. Now
Dublin, Kerry, or Donegal, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough draw on the back of three, on your third weekend in a row. And again, we're looking at what's the extent of some of those injuries. Like Sean Kelly, you're right, he hasn't looked fully fit, but he's too important to play. The one guy I think has done really well for Galway is Matthew Turney. I think he's come into a richer in form, looks really good. And if you look at Galway last week, this is the frustration for Galway poor Joy last week. It was 1-1 off silly mistakes and kickouts. And you know, if they pumped in a couple of balls long, I think we're talking about Galway in the quarterfinal. We're probably discussing Armagh this weekend, but we're not. So we're in this position. So I think it's the perfect draw for Galway. I think, you know, I think this should be Monaghan well, to be honest. And it'll be a sad day for me for Monaghan with the legacy of Conor McManus in particular.
I was about to ask, is there a good chance it could be the last chance for Conor McManus?
You would think so. And that's not the way we want to associate McManus and Monaghan, because I think Monaghan have been such a good team over the last decade. They've maximized
phenomenal.
Like with the resources, with their limitations, I think they've just done everything. But this group that Monaghan had for so long, it was inevitable it was going to come to this stage. It's really full evolution. And I'm not sure what the replacement for the likes of these guys coming through for the longer picture with Monaghan. And I think it'll be a sad day. And I hope we're wrong sitting here that they won't get hammered. But I can't see any other result at the weekend bar Galway beating Monaghan comfortably based on what we've seen, based on what Monaghan have done. And listen, I think it's a great opportunity for Galway to get some of their guys just playing a nice bit of football at the weekend as well and give that bit of confidence after last weekend.
Yeah. Before we go then, just a quick nod to the Tottenham Cup semi-finals. You got Antrim v Laois, 2:00 in Croke Park, followed by Down v Sligo. Who do you think is going to win those two, Lee?
Well, who would have tipped Antrim and Laois to come through their quarterfinals? So that's itself, really. I'm going to reluctantly go Laois after the performance against Kildare last weekend. I know we can say Kildare, but then we didn't trust Kildare in Talchin. But I just think what we've seen last weekend was really impressive. Big underdogs, and I expect them to come through by a couple of points. I think the other game's a crack as well. It's like, yeah. I think that's a right humdinger of a game, to be honest. I'm not sure. I'm going to put my Mayo hat and my friend playing Kevin McLaughlin. I'm going to put the Mac attack, Kevin McLaughlin, and his Sligo forwards to produce the goods on Sunday against Down. So.
Okay, so you're saying a Down Laois final. Oh, sorry, Sligo Laois. Sligo Laois final. What do you say?
Could come back next week and none the road.
Yeah, I think it's like a little bit of Croke Park experience, I suppose, will probably help Laois. That might count for something in one of the games. Down in the final last year, lost it when they were fancied.
Yeah.
They probably need this Talchin Cup win if they're really going to make the next step up. So you would assume that they will win, but I'm not so sure. I think Sligo could turn them over. I think there's a very good there's a good vibe around Sligo football from underage all the way up over the last number of years, and they're building a good panel there, and I think they'll challenge beyond the Talchin Cup even if they don't get the win on say Sunday. But I'd give them the shout this time. I would
just on Sligo then, which is just a key thing to know as well. Those two teams playing in the provincial this year, Galway only beat them by a point late on, or 2 points, sorry, with a late goal, and Down only lost by a point to
Armagh.
So it shows the development of what Talchin can do to these teams, correlating back to actually being competitive again within their provincial and hopefully further down the line in the years come. So I think you're starting to see the fruits of that labour a little bit better now as the years go on with those teams.
That's a fair point. Also with Sligo, you know, there's a new bridge or nowhere kind of element to this. Sunday or never. We didn't come up with a snappy phrase for it, but like They did kick up a stink, so I suppose they have to back it up now. That's the trick. Okay, well, you can watch those two semi-finals on RTE on Sunday. And you can watch the two hurling preliminary quarterfinals on Saturday on RTE. And you can follow all the games on RTE Radio, Saturday and Sunday Sport, and the RTE website and the RTE News app. Don't forget to follow the podcast and listen to us or watch us wherever you fancy. And enjoy your weekend. And Jackie and Rory will be back on Monday. So good luck. Chat to you then. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Dublin lead by a score.